Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Do you know how to find the right oil for your car? Now you can find out quickly and easily online, thanks to Castrol's Rego to Oil tool. Simply type in your Rego, select your state, and within seconds you'll know the best Castrol products to unlock the edge of performance in your car. So what's your car best suited to? Just search Rego, the number 2, and oil, and find out.
A Motorsport Podcast Network production.
Welcome along. Great to have you with us. It is the V8 Sleuth Podcast. I am Aaron Noonan. He is Will Dale, and we are talking today about the lost races. Will, have you got the spooky music there?
No.
Oh, man, I built that up really well, really well. Nothing.
No.
Donuts. Cracker. Absolutely nothing. This podcast this week, we must start off the bat a little bit late this week. Later than normal, but it's here this week, and that's the bit that matters. Of course, an Anzac Day holiday in the middle of things and some other commitments going on. But this is the Lost Races episode, and this was really prompted by our last get-together on the podcast,
yeah,
basically.
We got a question. Did we get a question from a listener from the last podcast, or did we just naturally start talking about this?
I never can remember.
Yeah, same, unfortunately. Apologies if there was a listener question that prompted this, but we remembered the chat about it and we enjoyed it, so we figured we'd talk about it a bit more.
And the more that we dug and the more that we asked you, our listeners and our Facebook followers, of some of the races that and there's probably a couple of different categories to cover off here. These are the hidden gems. Some of them were never covered on television. Some of them were but have never been seen since. And some of them haven't been seen for a very long time, and there's questions whether any vision actually exists of what are some of the best races, some of the pieces of our history that are unknown, lost forever, maybe tucked away in a vault. Who
Fingers
knows?
Fingers crossed, hopefully. Let's hope they're somewhere.
Well, you never know. And there, I guess there's a difference in some of this too, whether there's the available broadcast quality vision or there's someone's got a VHS copy of it or a beta copy or whatever they might have from back in the day. The two things are a little bit different. So we're going to put all that together in this episode of the pod and cover off some of the really interesting parts of racing history in Australia that, well, you can't see. You can only read about some of these. But hopefully this might prompt some people to go digging through their cupboards and talking to their uncles, fathers, sisters, brothers, mums, uncle, whoever, to try to come up with some of this stuff. But we got some great suggestions this week on Facebook that really added to some of the notes that we already had. And I think that the first one we've got to start with here on Lost Races, feels like a whole series could develop out of this. It could go anywhere. Is the what is labelled perhaps the greatest touring car race in the history of this country, 1972, Australian Touring Car Championship at Bathurst between Alan Moffat in the mighty Coke Mustang and Pete Gagan in the Super Falcon. Now, the only vision I've ever seen of this is some, I think it's silent home video that was released by autopix.com.au by the late David Blanche some years ago now. That's all I've ever seen. And I don't think that race was covered on television from memory.
I can't imagine it would have been, because you think that was part of – you think about where the Australian Touring Car Championship was in terms of prominence at that point. I mean, sure, the Bathurst 500 as it was then was televised, but that was a big thing with Channel 7, and it was only really had, what, 5-6 trackside cameras – and it was an all-day thing, whereas this was a comparatively very short race that was part of a bigger meeting. So live television wasn't really a thing, especially when the promoters were trying to get a crowd out there on Easter.
Yeah, and that's one of the things back in those periods that – and that went right through, even with cricket, into the 80s, where how many times would it be there'd be a game at the Sydney Cricket Ground or the Melbourne Cricket Ground?
Like a blackout.
If you lived there, you couldn't watch it because they were trying to encourage you to go because they felt that the impact would be that if you could watch it on telly, you just wouldn't pay for a ticket and go along and watch.
So, like, even till recent years, that was the same for the Indy 500. You couldn't watch it live if you were in Indianapolis.
I remember I've been to the 500 twice, And I can't remember which of the times. I think it was the first time I'd been, which was 2009, sitting in a diner on the Sunday night with some Aussie friends, and everyone was craned on watching the replay. And my natural reaction was, oh, yeah, the replay's on. And then I went, oh, no, this is the first time so many people have seen this because that's how it is here. It's very different. But that's an iconic race, that 72 Bathurst one, with two of the superstar cars and drivers of that whole era of the sport. And we only have first-hand accounts, really, don't we? I mean, we don't have a piece of vision to go, ta-da, here it is, here's how it'll unfold.
No, the period reports from the various outlets, whether it was Auto Action or Racing Car News or whatever was around at the time, and like that, those, as we've seen from various articles that we've done over the years, Australian Muscle Car, those things are extremely handy, but it's not, but like you'd love to actually see it.
Yeah.
And it further reinforces the idea that you only ever need two good cars to have a good race.
That's true.
Because there were a few other good cars there that day that just didn't quite make the distance.
No, and it's also proof that home video is amazingly powerful. And particularly in the modern era, everyone's a cameraman really, aren't they, or camera woman with their phone, because you can just whip it out and something happens in front of you, ta-da, there it is.
It's funny because like some of the, you think back of how long this has been the case. Like as part of the research for the 888 book, I've been having a look on YouTube for various things and found fan shot footage of test days that 888 have done. So like the day that Chassis 27 had its first shakedown.
Which was Georgia.
Georgia, yeah. A punter has uploaded YouTube vision from that day that I would never have expected to exist anywhere.
And because we're doing this the week of the Perth Super Sprint at carco.com.au Raceway.
Yes.
This time of year every year when Perth comes around, which obviously we had a couple of years where there wasn't a Perth, the Carl Reinler incident gets replayed and my terrible voice gets wheeled out over the top of that vision.
It was worse for Carl than it was for you.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But I've seen some YouTube fan vision and it captures it more rawly because you hear the reaction from the crowd of that, and then the get him out, because the thing's on fire and the fireys are turning up and the crews are jumping the fence. So you get this extra angle that you just don't get through a broadcast, and the broadcast is kind of the one lens that pretty much we all have on it.
Yeah.
Whether it's from what you saw on the day or what you remember in your brain or what the tape shows in the aftermath. So there's another pivotal one actually that's popped up too that one of our readers suggested, and it's a weird one because – I've seen vision of the era before and after this, but somehow this one's fallen through the cracks for some reason. The 77 Hang 10 400 at Sandown. Debut of the A9X Tirana. Peter Brock wins, Bill Patterson Racing, the blue number 25 car. I've seen vision of the 76 Sandown Enduro. Mm. It was released by Chevron, ABC Vision, on those classic Australian touring car races DVD, what were they, 10-odd years ago.
Yeah.
They also released highlights of the 78 Sandown Hang 10 race that Brock won in the A9X.
Off the back of the Australian Grand Prix being held on the same day.
But I've never seen a Skerrick one single frame of the 77 Sandown race.
That's fascinating. As you said, like that was that's the debut of the A9X. I mean, that was also one of the first races of that iconic Marlborough Holden Deal livery where they swapped to the big chevrons on the front and the rear to make – and that's a fair point. I've never really stopped to think about that.
I've never seen any vision.
That's really interesting.
I would be gobsmacked. And the other thing is from dealings with Chevron and John Kittle and the guys there with releasing DVDs over the years – one of the things was with the ABC that there's probably more motorsport stuff in their vault, but it's not labelled well.
Yes.
And I think we've talked about this before. So that could sit there somewhere on a shelf at the ABC.
Because it was broadcast. I'm looking currently at the TV guide.
I love
for
when you look
September
this stuff
11,
up.
Sunday,
what
1977.
Does it tell you?
They actually cut to they cut to Sandown live twice. So they showed whatever the Formula 5000 race was that preceded it. It wasn't the Australian Grand Prix that year. Don't know whether it was part of the Australian Drivers' Championship off the top of my head. So I cut to that live at midday for an hour. Then
This is the ABC.
This is the ABC. Yeah. Off the back of Divine Service from the Salvation Army Citadel in Hobart, Tasmania.
How long did that go for?
That went for an hour.
Okay.
So at 1 p.m. after the F5000 race was done, they showed a repeat of Four Corners from that week. And then at 1:55, Australian Beautiful Gardens, Water and Stone, which was also a repeat. But then at 2:25, they cut to Motor Racing 77, live from Sandown.
So do you reckon that's...
Surely. Like, what else, could it be?
Does it mean that the race has started by that point?
We'd have to look at the program.
Mm.
But I would dare say that it ran until 5:05 when it was followed by a program called Yak. Whatever that is.
Lots of chat? Yak, or
spewing? Well, not much chat. It was 10 minutes. Oh, Yak into banana splits into countdown. What a combo.
Okay. There you go. Love it. Well, I guess our only hope to ever see that race or vision of that race is that it's somewhere in the ABC vault. And the bits that have been saved of 76 and 78, they were like half-hour highlights packages that were released on those DVDs. So I'd be amazed if the live, you know, as it went to air.
Would be good though, wouldn't it? Because the Light Car Club's timing and results reports weren't always as helpful as a historian might like.
I think they raised more questions than provided answers, to be honest. But
yes.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I think if we were to do our top five lost races what we're going to talk about in this pod, that's a contender. That's in the top
absolutely.
Five. Maybe top three.
We talk about stuff that has mysteriously maybe lurking in an archive somewhere that we don't even know about. Talk about highlights packages of the 70s, of the other Hang Ten 400s on the either side of that year. Last year, when Channel 7 did their Bathurst channel on the 7 Plus app.
Yeah.
And a one-hour highlights pack of the 1963 Armstrong 500 appeared.
Oh, was it an hour? Was it half an hour?
Or half hour.
Yeah,
any of it, really.
Yeah.
Like
And it was actual – it was the race telecast vision.
Yeah.
It wasn't a compiled, cut it together voice over it.
Like we've seen.
Yeah.
Like it's more commonly seen.
Yeah, and all of my years of digging through the 7 Vault to do the 7 Sport Magic Moments DVDs, to do the Shannon's Legend series, V8 Extra – I never came across it.
Mm.
And I would have gone, and I've got tape code files and logs and all sorts of stuff. And I nearly fell over when I saw that because I had not seen that. And it was, I think they had four cameras for that first Bathurst in 63. And it's half an hour taken from the race telecast all put together. And clearly that would have been shown, and you can get your TV guide out another day, that would have been shown in the aftermath where it was the next, because it was quite common.
It was shown that night.
Either that night.
It was 100% shown that night.
Yeah, right.
And they did that. They actually did that for quite a few years.
For quite a few years they did that. And then in the 70s particularly too, maybe they were doing it in the 60s, that they would run that the next week as well, the next weekend. So, and that's where some of those Bathurst highlights that we've released on DVD over the years, 72, 73, some of that stuff, that's come from those. And you actually hear on one of those early ones, maybe it's 74 or thereabouts, Mike Raymond is actually the voice who kind of does the intro link pieces still a couple of years before he ends up part of the Channel 7 Bathurst telecast team. So this is just amazing history. And when you compare, I wonder sometimes whether Australian motorsport's done a fair, poor, average, good, great job of its history and its visual history. When you compare it to AFL, NRL, tennis, cricket, I'd say it's poor, and it's probably come from the fact that it's been so splintered.
Yeah.
Different networks holding rights, different entities running the sport. Whereas if you look now, I'm pretty sure that when you see cricket on Fox or 7, they have use of that old Channel 9 vision because of Cricket Australia.
Has gone and bought it.
Yeah, and the AFL did a good job of this. They had their 100th anniversary in, I think it was 96, I think.
Yes.
About a centenary season. Yeah. They made a doco. They did all sorts of cool stuff. But one of the big things that they did was that they formed what was called AFL Films, and it was run by David Barham, who was the head of sport at Channel 10 for a long time, and he's now the president of the Essendon Football Club
right.
in the AFL here in Melbourne. So they went out there and grabbed and sought to find as much vision and as many things that were lying around, not nailed down, that they could build this archive for AFL from. And we've got this situation where there's probably three distinct pools for Australian racing. You've got the Seven archive, mm-hmm. which is predominantly Bathurst, but yep. Touring Car Championship for 10 years or whatever it was, plus other miscellaneous bits. You've got Supercars, who own everything that they broadcast from 97 onwards,
yep.
whether it was on 10, 7, Fox, that's all, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes. yeah.
So that's theirs all the way through. And then you've got the ABC with a lot of that early vault stuff. And there's a lot of the stuff that's lying around that we might have copies of, our listeners might have on various videos and places, that master copies don't exist with those networks, but they they're still around. They're still a thing. So they're probably the three big pillars,
yeah.
but they're not together, and I can't see them ever fully being together. I mean, it's good that while Seven have rights to Supercars, those two pools kind of connect, but I think there's still a lot of other stuff out there and around there. It's just a case of knowing where to look between the cracks.
Exactly. And you think about what the way AFL, NRL have been able to have footage to go back and try and get.
Yeah.
They were majority sports in a major market, so there were large amounts of people who, if they couldn't be at the game, wanted to watch it, and there was public interest and ad dollars there to be got by TV networks in airing this stuff, so it does exist. Whereas with motorsport back in that earlier era of even as late as the 1980s, there was no guarantee that these races would draw enough ratings to be to justify as being televised, especially when you compare televising a motor race compared to televising a football field.
Oh, massive more expense, massive more everything.
Mm.
Covering a football ground versus covering a X amount of kilometre racetrack is a whole other thing. And a lot of our listeners are wondering, well, why didn't they keep these tapes? Why didn't they just keep them? Well, they took up room and they were stock. So quite often tapes were recorded over because it was quite valuable. So they needed to reuse them rather than, no, just tuck that away, grab another one. Well, that's budget. That's money that
That's why large chunks of Doctor Who got taped over, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And there's a common story, and we've had it raised by some of our podcast listeners and our sleuth readers. Yeah, it's true. There was a chunk of Channel 7 archive material that was turfed, and it became landfill for the tennis courts for Homebush. That is true. That is fact. Wow. But exactly what was under there and what was thrown, we're not really sure. But I have to
I don't think anyone ever really documents garbage.
No, but I would
they consider garbage, yeah, I should say.
I would have to presume that there may have been full or much more complete Bathurst Enduros from the 60s through to the mid-70s that might have got the turf. So, which would
Well, it's always felt like one of those minor miracles of someone who loves watching old motorsport that anything from that era, from 76 onwards, could have been released in anything close to a full race. Like to be able to watch, what do you call it, 90% of the 77 race?
Yeah.
Without that one out and a bit hours missing in the middle during the broadcast strike in Melbourne?
Yeah. Was that a strike or was that when they went off
to
World of
Sport? It was that day. Yeah. Right. Normally I think it was so Melbourne would always cut to their traditional 1 hour World of Sport program during the race and then come back afterwards, hence why there's an hour missing from 78.
76 as well.
Yeah.
I think 77 was the last year that there was a gap.
Oh, it was too.
78 of all those races we've released on DVD, 78's the first full one.
Yeah. I believe 77 there was also a broadcasters union strike or some form of strike action during the middle of that day, which might have caused the gap to be a bit larger than an hour.
Well, it was just over a decade ago, 2012, I think it was, 2011, somewhere around there, that I actually sat down with the team at Chevron in Sydney with John Kittle and Ray Burghouse and said, hey, guys, because I was doing a lot of V8 extra work, because I'm in Melbourne at the time, all the tape files are in Melbourne. So I would go in there and go sifting for vision, or we'd ask a researcher there to do it. And it was clear that there was far more stuff there than they had ever actually released. And they didn't need to keep repackaging the same stuff over and over because that's what led us to the Seven Sport Magic Moments DVD series, and that's what led us to the full Bathursts. And there was a bit of all that stuff that flowed through. So we're kind of at the other side of that now in terms of the DVD market's just not really there anymore. So that's why there's no new releases of Seven Sport Magic Moments coming this year. But I still think that there's a and this podcast will prove it, and the feedback that will come from this podcast and the other suggestions and the other races and the other things that people want to talk about will prove that there's plenty of interest out there in some of that stuff that's no longer around. So we will sleuth. We will find. Mm. I think we mentioned this on the pod. Maybe this helped prompt us last week.
Mm.
The Oran Park Enduros, the 88 Pepsi 250.
Yes.
Which was the one that Peter Brock and Jim Richards won in the mobile BMW, George Fury, Mark Scaife in the Skyline, I think, finished second.
Yep. Was it Crompton Parsons on the podium in third?
I think it might have been the Mitsubishi Starion. Was it Gary Scott and Terry Shiel? I can't remember off the top of my head. But I've never seen any vision of that race. Surely it exists somewhere. Surely the ABC televised it in some way, shape or form, because they had done the Oran Park Enduro right through that period of the 80s. And by then the whole standalone endurance, because the endurance championship was dead by that stage. So any enduro that was being run was kind of sitting on an island on its own. And there wasn't like it is now where everyone has a franchise or a, you know, not a franchise anymore, but a charter where it's a commitment to compete. Back in those days, you didn't have that. You turned up and went to what you wanted to go to pretty much.
Hence why those were – hence why a BMW M3 could win a race in 1988, because the one Sierra that was there had mechanical issues.
Was it the Bondi?
It was Bondi's brand new car.
Yeah, which didn't go so good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there was no Shell cars. There was no Longhurst. There was no Larry Perkins Commodore. There was, you know, it was left open. But I think where we might get some luck here, mate, is the National Film and Sound Archive one day, because they do hold a lot of different news broadcasts. So we might get to see some news reports and stories on some of these races that we're going to talk about. But, of course, that takes time and some money to liberate that from the files and clearance from the copyright holder generally as well. So I think there's still some stuff there if we ever have a reason or a need to go digging. But I'm shocked that the 88 race, was that televised? Do we know?
We had a quick look the other day at the Sydney Guide for that weekend and could see no trace. But there were ABC generalised sports shows, so it could have had a mention in it.
Dropped it in there somewhere.
Yeah.
But the other one we definitely know is the next year's race, which was the last Oran Park Enduro, the Yokohama 300. And this one actually came in off socials. Rowan Carrick, who a lot of people will know, races a Formula Holden, raced Formula Holden in the period. His dad, Ian, raced a BMW, one of the old Jimmy Richards cars, with Peter Hudson and Ian Clark, with two of his mates. And they finished 10th, and he said, we don't even have any photos from this event, let alone any video. And that's the one that Andrew Medecki and Andrew Bagnall won in the Kenwood car, wasn't it?
So, yeah. Typical of Andrew Medecki's luck in that era, he wins a race that's not that is not widely remembered or was widely broadcast, because it was televised.
We understand it was televised on Sky TV, like here in Australia, i.e. Sky, which was in pubs and clubs, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was essentially a horse racing, the horse racing channel, but also in that era carried a few snippets of motorsport, and this was one race where they broadcast it.
Never seen it.
No.
Not a bit.
Gotta wonder where that lives.
Surely that Sky, there must be a tape vault somewhere of imagine with horse racing, and there might be one tape of car racing among it all.
So Sky Racing essentially launched in what, late 80s, 86, 87, 85, 86, 87,
so it was
pretty
freshish by that
stage. Yeah, so you've got to wonder, and like in terms of output, there'd be a lot there. So you've got to wonder how much was kept in those early days.
Do you presume perhaps that an outside production company might have put that together and given it to them to run?
You would think.
Because that reminds me of what we know from the Sandown 500 that year that didn't air on television, but it was filmed and recorded with the on-track commentary.
Yeah.
We've got if you have a look at YouTube, we've loaded it up there on our V8 Sleuth channel. I think it was about 2 hours worth of coverage of that day. So,
and it's funny because some of that vision was used in the Bathurst broadcast that year on that profile on Dick Johnson.
Because it was used on Sports World. And Sports World showed maybe 5 to 10 minutes of highlights of the 89 Sandown race
the following week.
Right. That's where that came from. Yeah, that's that stuff. So Oran Park 88 and 89, it's a bit of a empty hole for us. If you've ever seen it, if you've ever heard of it, if you've ever got any ideas, tell us. We want to know because they're too interesting to ring. Because pretty much everything from those 2 years else is around, seen, released, people exists. Got it, it exists. But if I can segue here, Will, there is something else from 1989 that also doesn't exist. But it doesn't exist because we definitely know that it wasn't broadcast, one of the AMPS car rounds.
Yes, the third AMPS car round, I believe, because the first AMPS car round of that year was the Australian Touring Car Championship round.
Concurrently run, yep.
Yep. The second one was in late May, and that was definitely broadcast. They actually had a issue with one of the cameras across the top of the hill. So the last race of the day, they tracked the leaders to the top of Bitchapave Hill and then picked them back up at the bottom of Dunlop Loop. So that was definitely broadcast. The final round was broadcast. That was the one that had Formula Holden racing there, where Crompton won the first race and went nine eyes at the start of the second race when he got turned into the wall on the run
up the hill.
Yep, up the hill. Yeah, yeah. So it's actually the third round that was not broadcast at all.
Do we know why?
Don't know a definitive reason. Wonder whether maybe that was an ARDC decision to potentially draw more spectators, or whether Channel 7 had other stuff on that weekend
Channel
and couldn't do it.
Channel 7 loved broadcasting from Amaroo because it was cheap and local. Small track, and they were based in Sydney, ATN 7. So we might do some further digging through the magazines of the period to see if there's a reason. You know the other bloke who might know? Gary O'Brien, because Gary has been in every race in the history of racing, long-time Auto Action reporter. He's been speaking.
I'm pretty sure
now.
Gary did the report.
He probably
round
did.
Three.
Yeah, I'd say he did. So he might have a recollection. He might be a guy that we ask about.
Speaking of recollections, this does remind me, this is how we got on the top. It was indeed a listener question last week. It was from Lachlan James, who asked about the 92 touring car round at Malala, which was another one that was not broadcast live by Channel 10.
Yes, that prompted us. Correct.
It was. Yep. Yes. So thank you, Lachlan, for sending this on this
journey.
The good
thing is there is, and I think we got asked about that by another person in our call out this week, there is vision of that. It was very small in terms of clearly there wasn't a big OB, so that's outside broadcast is the TV term, i.e. it's not in a stadium or a studio, it's out in the open. So a small amount of cameras were there to at least film some of the action, and they spliced it together and ran it on Sports World the next week, which could you imagine the outrage now? If a supercar's
you know
was
what?
Covered
yeah,
that
I
way.
Probably could. Yeah,
just a little.
Having worked at Fox Sports in the era where that change happened and a few of the races just went behind a paywall, I definitely could remember what that would sound like.
Know what it feels like.
Yeah.
While we're on the topic of Oran Park, there's a couple more races that seem to have just slipped away. Sadly, the Rothmans 500 Enduros of the late 70s, 77 and 78, the one that Johnny Harvey and Charlie O'Brien won when they ran out of juice and Harves had to go and leg it to go and get some juice to top it up and get it going again. I've never seen vision of either of those two races. And there's clearly
– but we know they were broadcast.
They were broadcast on Channel O, which was what it was before.
Or
it was 10 Channel 10.
Sydney
or
in that era.
Or
the O10 network.
Yeah, that's it. I've found in the Channel 10 vault some Eyewitness News stuff with Dick Johnson.
And Vern Schuppen ahead of the 78 race.
Because Vern had come back to Australia to drive with Dick. But beyond that, in terms of actual race day vision footage, donuts. There's a chance that there might be some on Eyewitness News reels that are in the National Film and Sound Archive. There's a chance. But I wouldn't hold my breath that we ever found the full race or any of the race day telecast of that one.
Are you doing some Googling over there trying to find the TV guy? It is a bit of a shame that if that is long gone and like cross our fingers maybe someone has a – I was going to say it's pre-VHS
or
Betamax era,
yeah,
isn't it? So it's contingent on finding the actual tapes.
It would be very, very rare to find anyone who had a home video recorder at that stage because – the growth and rise of VHS really wasn't until the early 80s. So anything that's in the 70s is kind of going to fall into the cracks a little bit there. But I guess what it would take someone who, whether they were working for the track or the promoter or the sponsor, who got given a copy of the tape in the aftermath and it's sitting in a box somewhere, like a U-matic tape, which we've saved a lot of stuff from those old tapes in previous years. All the old Amaroo Amps car races of 79, early 80s.
CRC 300, the one where Dick Johnson's original True Blue Falcon made its race debut.
Yep, all that stuff. So that's probably all we can hope for with trying to find those races.
We'll sincerely hope that someone has the 6-hour coverage of the 77 Rothmans 500.
Was it the full thing?
Oh, it started at 10 a.m. in the morning and the coverage finished at 4 p.m. that evening.
Yeah, that'd be the full thing.
Covering the 579-kilometre long Rothmans 500, which I've always found curious.
It was 222 laps, wasn't it?
Something around like that, yeah.
Something or other.
Yeah, you do the maths, yeah, and I don't quite see where the 500 came into it.
Yeah,
maybe this is where Holden Dealer Team went wrong. They were fueling up for a 500k race.
Nice.
Yeah.
Maybe there was something in that. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Do you know how to find the right oil for your car? Now you can find out quickly and easily online, thanks to Castrol's Rego to Oil tool. Simply type in your Rego, select your state, and within seconds, you'll know the best Castrol products to unlock the edge of performance in your car. So what's your car best suited to? Just search Rego, the number 2, and oil, and find out.
So there's another couple that have fallen through the cracks. 1980 Australian Touring Car Championship. I don't think I've seen a frame of any round from that season.
Again, that sort of highlights the position that touring car racing was in that era. You think of the fact that footage exists of that sort of glory era of the mid to late 70s. Think of the 77 Sandown Touring Car round where Moffat wins and then his mechanics hop on the back for the victory yes. lap.
Yeah, that's been released, hasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah. And even stuff from the 70 from 79, like the final round at Oran Park, Adelaide International Raceway, footage of...
I've seen that.
Yes.
I've got a copy of that.
Mm.
And I have a copy of Sandown and I have a copy of Wanneroo from 79.
And this is the thing. These things exist in some way, shape or form, but 80, like after...
Nothing.
No, nothing. Looked back at the TV guide of the era, there's no mention of it on any of the channels.
The only thing I found was that the ABC did 1 hour of Simmons Plains, which was the opening round of 1980. That's all I could find in any of the old TV guys. And when we're talking about these, they're available online through, where are they? State Library Victoria, and you can look them all up. They're all there from the old newspapers from back in the day. So that gives us a really great period source to be able to research some of this stuff. But that's
and
all
it kind of tallies because well, it kind of tallies because of what Dick Johnson says about, oh, I watched the first round of that year and Gary Wilmington was actually doing a good job in that XD at Simmons Plains.
That's so how I watched it.
Yeah, exactly. It's not something that's been conflated in the memory over all these years. It is historically accurate.
True, totally true. And the other part to it all is that it wasn't uniform like it is now. Mm. So individual tracks had their own promoters. They did their own thing, in some cases their own TV deals.
Mm.
It wasn't like the championship rights were sold to a network and then the network just covered it all, as was the case with Seven later on. It was a bit haphazard. It was a bit here, there and everywhere.
It's like when ABC started effectively, it wasn't a set deal. It was what them as a national broadcaster going, oh, this is something of public interest and worth our time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And while we think too of just going back to Oran Park a little bit, 73 Touring Car Championship round, I think it was broadcast by Channel 9 in Sydney at the time.
Correct.
I think we've talked about this
before. Yeah, Oran Park had done a deal. Of course, the great promoter there, Alan Horsley, they had done a deal with Channel 9 to broadcast some of their racing.
I've never seen any of it.
No, because that's the story. Isn't that one of the stories that Alan Moffat tells about John Smales approaching him on the grid?
On the grid?
Or John, no, it's John Smales that tells the story of approaching Alan Moffat on the grid and being told in two very short words what he could do. Because it was on.
Did it start with F and end with off?
It certainly ended. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Got to wonder if that race was live.
Oh, that would have been a cracker. Yeah. That would have been a cracker. Channel 9's vault intrigues me because I do know from brief chats over the journey that there's some stuff there, some stuff that's not.
The Triple Challenges,
gone.
Gone, really?
They don't have them.
That's fascinating.
Because we wanted to release them on Chevron DVDs in the previous years, but they don't have broadcast tapes of those events. Obviously, they're around, they're online. Mm. People have loaded them on YouTube and people have got them at home on DVD or VHS. But
is there archive? I presume it probably is by now, but is there archive centralized or is there like regional affiliates?
I haven't had any contact there for a long time. So I'd be interested because we did get the Brock Classic. We released that on DVD.
And the Nissan 500?
Yep, 1990. Yeah. That was out on a standalone DVD title. which you can get from our online shop, by the way, superstore.v8sleuth.com.au. We've got a whole pile of DVDs available there for your classic motorsport fix.
And that 90 race is a cracker.
Yeah,
as well.
That was great. I remember watching that on the day. But I'm intrigued to know what else Channel 9 may have, because apart from their current involvement with the Stan Sport coverage of the ARG stuff, the Speed Series, Nine's motorsport history has always really been about the international categories, about the Formula One coverage and obviously the Australian race, the IndyCar, World Motorcycle Grand Prix, IndyCar racing and the local races of those. But they didn't really cover the domestic scene very much in terms of rights holders. Mm. Remember, though, that they did show the Australian Drivers' Championship Open Wheelers, 1990, 90. I think it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a unique situation because, and we're sidetracking here very quickly, 1990 Sandown 500 is telecast in a highlights package on ABC, but the Formula Holden or Brabham or whatever it was race at that stage was on Channel 9 earlier that day.
Yeah.
So they put up and pulled down the signage at the last corner in front of where we were standing, depending on which TV was going to be on for what race. We just, that sort of stuff you'd never see these days.
But even that was a deal, that the Formula Holden deal, Brabham deal for Nine only kicked in halfway through the season because the early season races were shown on Seven whenever they were on a touring car.
Yeah.
At a touring car round.
Yeah, that's right. Good point. Good point. You know, I'm sure there's plenty of open wheeler fans out there who, I mean, I think we're sort of a bit more focused, obviously, on touring cars racing, but open wheeler racing over the years, there's so much vision around that has just gone to God or never been kept. Or there's all sorts of old movie tone type newses of 70s open wheeler racing in Australia and stuff like that that does float around. But again, it costs money and time to liberate this stuff, and you've got to be able to clear it to use it if you want to use it like commercially or to release it or whatever you want to do. One of the ones that's fallen through the cracks, we talked Amps Car before.
Mm.
Remember when they revived the Amps Car series in 97 for V8 privateers?
Much to Tony Cochran's annoyance.
Oh, yeah, he was a big fan.
Yeah.
Ran on a Goodyear controlled tyre. Mel Rose won the championship. And it was brought. It was actually covered by Channel 7, but the shows were produced by AVE in Sydney, who have been around for a long time and doing Speed Series stuff again this year. And they did Procar stuff for years. They've done all sorts of motorsport coverage. And they started by running, I'm pretty sure they were half hour or maybe 1 hour programs showing late at night on a midweek, like a midnight on a Wednesday of these Amps Car standalone rounds. But the last round of that series was at Eastern Creek, and I think it was like early December.
Yeah.
And by that stage, I think the momentum had, you know, I think there was maybe six or seven cars, and it all started to peter out a little bit. I don't think there was ever any vision captured of that round because I don't think it was broadcast.
No, that would make a lot of sense.
So the very last Amps Car round, because it only ran for that one season, it had been dead for, 4 years since 93.
Yeah.
There's no vision.
Wasn't Paul Wheel in that round?
I think that was, just got his hands on one of those old Tony Longhurst Falcons.
Yeah.
And had done a sports sedan round, I think at Lakeside or something like that, and this was his first kind of national level touring car event per se. There's a boat we've got to get on the pod.
Yeah. He'd be a good chat.
Yeah, totally. What else you got on your list? There's a bunch of stuff here for us to work our way through. It's so intriguing. And I guess we can always focus in on it's kind of like looking at what you don't have versus what you do have.
Yeah.
We do have an amazing amount of motorsport history visually. But these are just the bits that have fallen through the cracks or that we want to find or that we are sad to have lost. But what else have you got? What else springs to mind?
Well, one bit that hasn't fallen through the cracks that we know exactly how much we have of is the 87 Sandown Touring Car Championship round, which was supposed to be broadcast live. And small snippets of it were in a fashion.
You're putting a little bit of sauce on this.
Well, so there was a union strike among...
There was an industrial dispute.
Yeah.
Which stopped Channel 7's people from actually going in to actually... And I haven't got the... It's a long and involved story.
Yeah.
But basically, the technicians, the camera people, commentators, everybody was not permitted to, like, they were barred.
And there are even reports that there was actually going to be actual protest action take place during the race if they had tried, like potential of people walking out on the track to force the race to stop if it was being broadcast.
This was wild. It probably hasn't been covered enough over the years. And so the scenario was that Channel 7 was holding out hope that they could actually – so this is the Sandown round of the Touring Car Championship. I think it was like round 7 of 9, somewhere about there.
Yeah, with the title relatively delicately poised at that point.
Yeah, it's on between the Nissan boys and the BMW boys. And it was one of those scenarios where they tried to get this thing to happen. In the end, they gave up and went back to Sydney, and Crompton and Raymond put together kind of a highlights of the season so far to fill the airtime on the Sunday afternoon. And I know there's visionary, and we've got it somewhere here. There's Mike, there's Neil in the red jackets, clearly frustrated as hell.
Yeah.
And the view, could you imagine if Jess Yates came on the air this weekend in Perth from the studio in Sydney and said, sorry, due to industrial disputation, we can't bring you the round this weekend. Here's the highlights of Newcastle and Albert Park. Oh, my.
And then just as one of the races is about to finish, oh, we've managed to get the race footage from one of the race cam units out.
So they put a chopper up overhead to just beam it out. And
yeah.
I think they were sort of getting told through their earpieces that, we're just hearing word that George Fury's moved over for Glenn Seaton to take the lead and take the win and the maximum points. But I think there was a funny story early in that weekend that they were trying to direct one of their race cams from a van parked outside the track.
Yeah.
And, of course, in those days the race cams were beamed up to the helicopters and back, and the system was pretty well known.
Mm.
You remember that Gricey was a regular race cam driver for Channel 7. That was the first round where I think he rolled out in that burnt orange Bob Jane T.
orange Commodore.
Yeah. And it had been white earlier in the year. So they were aiming at this white Commodore driving around Sandown. It wasn't Alan Grice's car, though. They were beaming at them. They were like, gee, picture's a bit fuzzy. It's not quite right. It's because they were pointing at the wrong car. So. That's why that all went down. But yet there is vision, though,
of
87. Now, and this one, Luke Blattman, who's a regular Sleuth follower, he was on to this because he posted about this during the week, and I was going to bring it up. He said about Ken Sparks, the late, great Ken Sparks, who used to attend a lot of the Touring Car Championship rounds and the other events with a cameraman, and he'd file reports for the old Wide World of Sports Channel 9 show. Now, he said, I've seen footage of theirs from as early as Sandown 84 for the 500 and as late as Wanneroo in 88. I wonder how much, if any, of that is left. And he said, interestingly, they had a camera track site at the Sandown 87 championship race and featured footage from it in various later stories on Wide World of Sports.
Mm.
So there is vision
of
that around. And that was a really weird one where he would go and file reports with his own Channel 9 cameraman. Occasionally they would put a camera in a car.
Yeah, it was often Brock's car,
HTT Mobile Commodore. And then they'd go and package up their own story and do their own thing.
Was it Surfers 87 where Gary Scott in the team car had the Channel 7 race cam and Brock's VL had the Channel 9 camera in it?
Yeah.
How strange.
Yeah. I mean, it's these days you just wouldn't even get in the gate. You wouldn't even try to get in the gate with another logo on you.
So one of my first jobs in the industry, I volunteered at a couple of as a grandstand usher for a couple of races, but one day
in Townsville,
and then I got chatting with Peter Irvine, who looks after us all at the various media centres around the country, Bathurst and other places. I actually met him in Townsville, and he encouraged me to come down to the first Sydney Olympic Park event. And he swapped out with me for a day, so I got to experience what it was like being in a supercars media center. And one of my jobs that day was to help Cole Hitchcock and Cherie Brazel, who was doing PR for them at that point, usher all the camera crews into the precinct to cover Christina Keneally's visit as the new New South Wales Premier. So there are very extreme limits on what rival channels can actually do around race meetings nowadays.
Mm, mm. And if it's what you'll quite often find is that if it's Bathurst, a Thursday practice or whatever, there will be access permitted.
Mm.
But once we're in the broadcast days,
forget no about chance, it.
You know, if it's a news scenario, then potentially at play. But yeah, that's one of those things. But the thing is too, with that Ken Sparks vision, you remember, we've talked about this offline before. Some of that stuff popped up on, was it YouTube?
I think YouTube. And do you think either of us can find it again?
No.
Yeah.
Like it was posted like at the Brock Files or the Lost Brock Vision or something like that.
Yeah.
If anyone finds it, send us the link because we'd love to find it. And I can only presume that the vision that Ken shot, he might have held on to. It might not have all gone into the Channel 9, you know.
You got to wonder whether, like, the ownership of it, whether that was his through the various deal, whether, like, he subcontracted as his own.
Oh, that's a whole other question, isn't it? But, yeah, there's some gold to be seen there. And, I mean, even just to see the old Channel 9 reports that he put together, you will see some vision that you've clearly never seen anywhere else.
Hmm.
The other thing you won't see, the 86 Surface Paradise Touring Car round. Now, it's around, seen the race on, you know, VHS video, but when I went to release that on DVD, the full race doesn't exist on broadcast tapes. And the same is the case with the 82 Castrol 400 at Sandown.
That's one of the rare
Sandown Enduros that Channel 7 showed in that period, where I think the first half of that Sandown race is there, but the rest of it is just not there.
Which is an absolute shame, because it's the second half where all the spicy stuff happens.
It's the Moffat and pit stop penalties and Grice and the podium after the race.
That's like an iconic moment in our sport. One of my favourite photographs from our sport is the one taken from, like, looking at Alan Moffat's back as he's given the victory signs to the grandstand, and they're just booing him mercilessly. And the vision of that is not – the original broadcast vision of that isn't in the archive anymore.
No. It might be in a 7 tape when it was used for something else somewhere else.
Yeah.
But the actual race day telecast doesn't seem to be around the second half. So
he said with that 86 Surfers race, just to circle back a bit, so the full race doesn't exist. Does any of the support race stuff exist?
I can't remember off the top of my head.
The only reason I ask is because that's the race weekend where they did the Challenge of the Champions support race with, I think, 3 or 4 bike races and a couple of touring car races, where Jim Richards beat Greg Hansford, Mick Doohan and Kevin McGee and Michael Dowson in a motorbike race.
With a little bit of a head start.
It was a handicap start, but he still won. A win is a win.
Even if it's a reverse grid race, it's still a win. It goes down in the stats book as a win. That's how it definitely has to be. I've never seen the 85 Surface Enduro. Remember the one where the rain came and they all ended up off the road?
Skating off at turn one.
Crashed in the
on oil.
In the bank.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen vision of that.
No, not to the best of my recollection. No.
Yeah, I don't reckon that
I presume that would have been an ABC thing at best.
Yeah.
And again, endurance championship at that point.
Yeah. But you think
even the year before, like, it wasn't a full production broadcast of that race. Channel 7 filed footage of it as part of a feature story-ish sort of type thing, but it wasn't a full deal.
Telecast of the actual race. Yeah, yeah. But they definitely did televise the 86 Surface Paradise Enduro.
Mm.
That was on Channel 7. But it took until only recently, the last few years, that I ever saw the actual telecast of that, and I think someone came across it on a VHS. But it might have only been shown in full into the Queensland market and highlights elsewhere, potentially, off the top of my head.
Which we've seen with other Enduros of that era, like the Calder World Touring Car round is an example of that.
Yep, totally. When you think of big ticket events, 71 Championship Decider, Oran Park.
Yeah.
Doesn't exist?
No. Looked back at the various guides, and there's nothing obvious to suggest where it could have been broadcast.
Jane and Moffat.
Yeah.
Is this the one where Valiant? the guy Valiant drove out on the track?
That is the one.
That would have been nice. David Roberts is a regular poster to our Facebook page, and he's come up with some good stuff that I have to cover off while we're going. The Bathurst 1000 at the time that digital TV was showing. Now, this was 2000.
Mm.
Ten did a digital coverage of Bathurst where they brought Lee Diffie back from overseas. I reckon Mark Howie, he might have been a pit lane reporter for this.
Yeah, right.
And they basically had their own set of pit reporters and did their own stuff. Of course, at the time, analog TV was still the norm. Digital was coming, and that was kind of Ten's first rollout of it.
Well, I still remember, like, the showreel before proper HD channels started up in North Queensland. Like, one of the showreels was a whole heap of footage from that 2000 Bathurst, especially in pit lane. Like, it's amazing high-definition footage.
Mm. And I've never seen any of that broadcast. I've never seen or heard those blokes talking about that race, because it was what was broadcast on 10 that we saw.
Surely 10 would... You would think, given some of the other stuff that they've had of that era.
They have done a very good job of keeping, when I was doing stuff for RPM and Channel 10 with the Supercars telecasts, what was that, 2018, 2019, I think it was from memory, they did have in that 10-year 97 to 06 period that they had done supercars, they had in their files digitized pretty much all those rounds from back in those days.
Mm.
So there's a fair chance that stuff might have actually managed to exist. David also points out that there must have been a shed load of races in the 10 archive or the Channel O archive because they used to cover hill climbs. He mentioned the Rothmans 500s, which we talked about before. Heaps of events from Phillip Island, including those 500K enduros
at the end
of the year. So there are a bunch of those that are seemingly gone to God. But he said that there's a clip on YouTube, and I think I've seen this, of an historic meeting from Phillip Island, Peter Jansen commentating for Channel O.
Right.
So we might have to get on our bike and have a little bit of a looky-looky for that one.
Yeah, no, that would be interesting. Jansen's commentary was always colourful.
David, not a fan, though, of another commentator, though. He says that one should stay lost. Don't find it. This should stay in the lost files and the lost vault. Eddie Maguire's solo commentary effort on the Winton 300 in the mid-90s. I don't even remember that.
So that was shown on Channel 10.
I remember that they used to show like a one-hour highlights package.
Something along those lines, yeah.
That'd be good races to find.
Well, apparently not.
Well, not that one. Well, David's not a fan. We can run a mute for you. But I do remember seeing the race that Stephen Richards and Melinda Price drove the GRM Pulsar
in. I feel like that's the same race.
Oh, it might be. Okay.
Do you remember the commentary?
No, not at all.
Maybe this is why. Maybe you've repressed it or just exercised it from the brain.
Filed it away. Let's keep racing through a few more. Robert Yates, he says the 81 touring car open and round from Simmons, which he's pretty sure the ABC telecast, and the final round at Lakeside, which that clearly doesn't seem to have been covered as a race telecast, but there is some vision around that popped up in latter years. I think it was a Channel 7 news story.
Yeah, and you think of that vision was used on that Dick Johnson doco from back in the day, like slowed right down. And it is a shame that there was no proper broadcast of that race that we can go back and watch and enjoy. But again, it's a byproduct of where touring car racing was at that point.
Yeah. And touring car racing picked up really the mid-80s. It was the internationalisation, the Group A era, Channel 7 taking on the touring car rights to add to Bathurst.
Yeah.
And one of the growth elements there was the internationalism and Wellington, the street race, New Zealand.
Ah, yes.
Sheridan Bonham points this one out too on socials. The good news is a lot of that vision does exist. I've seen it, whether it's been on VHS tape or whatever. But I did go on a hunt there a few years back to Kiwi TV networks and some of the people that I've met over the years, but it would seem that none of the original broadcast tapes of those races exist. Mm. So the only stuff that really exists, remember Channel 7 would show highlights,
one-hour
highlights and stuff and run it here. A lot of that stuff's in the 7 Vault, and I think we did release one of those or two of those over the journey on our DVD series. But there's a bunch of that cool stuff from Wellington and Pookie in that era of stuff that, broadcast tapes sadly haven't made it.
Well, like that mobile series at the end of 96, I wonder if that's still kicking around where 12 of the V8 supercars went over.
That'd be a prime one to get your hands on. 10 showed it here. It was produced out of New Zealand and packaged up. But it was done a little differently because the package we got had Stephen Johnson calling, who was driving Trans Am at the time, with I think Wayne Munro from memory, the Kiwi commentator. But over there at the time with what was aired in New Zealand, it was Darrell Eastlake and Mark Scaife.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they did some of those Nissan Mobiles from memory too. So that was a bit of a regular thing. The Grand Prix, we get asked about this all the time, Grand Prix touring car races.
Yeah.
I mean, they're around. You can find some people who've loaded them on YouTube here and there. But Adelaide Grand Prix, Melbourne Grand Prix, it's all owned by Formula One management. So if you were ever commercially to do anything with it, you'd have to go through them, even though the master tapes do exist at Channel 9. And
they are not the owners of those tapes.
Yeah.
Technical or the content on those tapes.
Yeah, correct. And Mitch O'Brien, who's posted on Facebook, he's talking about that wet, dry race in 2005 that the two BOC Falcons, John Bauer, Brad Jones, had that 1-2 finishing. Yeah, you won't see any of that stuff again on TV or here or there purely because of rights issues.
Yeah.
So the actual tapes will be around and they'll be around at the networks that covered those races generally, but they can't do anything with them. So that's a bit of a shame.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where I guess we talked before about sporting bodies that have gone to a lot of trouble to acquire back Old Vision, FOM is one of those that has a massive stock of Vision.
They bought up those Brunswick Films, Formula One docos of the 70s to bring them into their archive a while back now. But they've actually done a really good job of all of that. A couple just quickly to finish off. Andrew Wright says he used to have a copy of the Sandown 79 touring car round. Sadly lost now, it seems. Haven't seen it released anywhere. Correct. Hasn't been released, but I know a bloke who's got a copy of that one just quietly that someone online might have hooked me up with. And the other one that Ollie Reese pointed out, which I'd forgotten about. This is not that old. Remember in the days of Darwin and then also with Perth that the race won on Saturday, which generally that was happening in Darwin and was in Perth, you'd only ever see the highlights at the start of the Sunday telecast to roll into the Sunday races. You didn't get to see the whole Saturday race. So a lot of those races have just never been broadcast because I wonder if they were ever recorded and there's a tape at Channel 10 that's got the I don't know whether they even bothered commentating them. They might have just shot them and then
that's the thing. Like if you were creating a highlights pack, how do you know what the highlights are going to be unless you've already unless you're directing and producing it as though it's a full race. And then cutting it down. You might not necessarily have commentators there, but to get all the other stuff, you kind of need all that other stuff in place to happen.
Well, it took until 2006 for those Saturday races at Perth and Darwin to be shown because remember that year 10 started showing the Saturday race that night after the AFL?
Yeah, right, okay.
It took until then.
Yeah.
So that's why you won't see some of those Saturday races from some of those previous years at those rounds where normally you'd had the three sprint races on Sunday, but with Darwin.
Was the Saturday race in Darwin in 04 the one where Scaife and Ambrose had each other off at the final last corner?
Yeah, when Marcus made the dive bomb up the inside. That was in a race that wasn't televised in full. It was cut together and, you saw the highlights of it Sunday.
Russell Ingall certainly saw the highlights of it.
Yeah. Is that the one when he then – He sure did. Marcus in the next race.
Yes, it was. Yes.
Another one that Ollie mentioned too was Indy 99, race one with the V8 supercars. Yeah. So, of course, they were the support category for Champ Car, Kart, whatever they were called at the time.
Is that a Friday race one?
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah. Maybe. But, yeah, there are some races from the V8 supercar era that haven't been seen that weren't broadcast per se. I'd forgotten about that one. So good spot, Ollie. That was a good one to add into the mix. So I think we've covered a whole pile there. What's your standout podium of things? If you said we could find all this, which of the three would you want most?
Can I lump all the Bathursts in full as one?
Pick a year.
71.
Okay.
71. And if it could be in high definition, that would be great.
Not asking much.
No.
I really want that... those Oran Park Enduros.
Yeah. Especially those 500s. Those would be cool. Something different.
Just something different. I mean,
like they were a big thing. The top teams for the most part were in it.
They were big events. Yeah. Definitely big events. So there's a whole pile of really cool stuff there. So thanks for everyone for contributing too, because we got a great response on our Facebook post about this to lead into this episode. The Lost Races. Hopefully we find some of these in the future and some of them emerge when we're not looking, because that's what happens. When you're not looking for something, you tend to find it.
Like that 63 Bathurst 500 highlights package. It just turned up, landed in our laps.
Start hunting and spending time and effort and energy. How often do you just not turn up what you're looking for? But the minute you're not looking for it, bang, there it goes. It appears. True.
Always the last place you look.
Exactly. Where's my keys? I've lost them. Damn. They're somewhere. They're somewhere around. Just quickly, we were a little bit late this week with this episode. We will have Repco Supercars Weekly later today. That's Friday to round out the week. Of course, Supercars in Perth this weekend as we record this one. Next week, Castrol Motorsport News Podcast back on Tuesday with the boys. And subject to the gods of technology, Will. We have a very special guest next week on the V8 Sleuth podcast that I'm going to have one-on-one time with.
Technology suggests that this is someone who's not coming into the V8 Sleuth studio.
He's a little far away. He's in Scotland.
Yes.
He runs a Volvo dealership.
That narrows it right down.
He was referred to as Mr. Puniverse by Dick Johnson.
Mr. Puniverse?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, when he first came out to drive the Brock V8 car, that thought he was this tiny little Scottish fellow who couldn't you know, drive a car around the track. So I think that this certain fellow...
I've never heard that. That's
I think
great.
This fellow responded by saying, well, Dick wouldn't fit in a 2-litre cup, so I can't do an accent, so I won't do it. Surely you know who I'm talking about.
John Clellan.
Absolutely. JC, John Clellan, 2-time.
Very good.
British Touring Car champion, of course, pretty much the unofficial ambassador for V8 Racing and Bathurst through the 90s and into the early noughties, has agreed to sit down with me for a chat. So we're going to hook up the online system and have a chat early next week. So we look forward to bringing that to you Wednesday. Technology permitting, it should all work all right. Of course, schedules change and stuff like that. But if we don't get to JC next week, it will happen. We're going to make it happen. He's keen to do it. And we've got a whole pile of stuff. So we will do a throw out on socials for call out for questions. But if you've got any for JC, please email them in to us or through the form on our website at v8sleuth.com.au. There is so much to talk about. I'm so looking forward to sitting down with JC. He is a legend. And you know what? He's going to race the Vectra at Brands in the middle of this year against Murph and Richard.
Oh, yes, because he owns the car that Brock rolled at Bathurst in 97.
Exactly. Yeah. So those two blokes are going to roll in and they're going to be met by one of the greatest British touring car drivers of all time in one of his old cars.
That's going to be great.
I reckon it's going to be fun. There's going to be some mudslinging going on in the lead up. For sure. For sure. John Clellan on the V8 Sleuth Pod next week. I tell you what, I love this Lost Races episode. This is up my alleyway. This is our sort of stuff.
Like, the first contact I ever had with you was when I bought tapes of old racing off you. Right back in the day. Dude. Actually, I was probably...
Have we got an anniversary coming up?
It was 20 years ago this year.
Do we get a cake?
Maybe.
Did you keep the tapes?
Yeah. Good. When I was back at Mum's recently, I found a bunch of them, so yeah.
Nice. Well played. Hey, everyone, thanks for tuning in. Thoroughly enjoyed this one. The Lost Races, we're going to find some. If you can help us find anything or if you've got something of interest in motorsport vision that might be lying around, get in touch, drop us a note through socials or the website, and we will chat to you again next week.
Do you know how to find the right oil for your car? Now you can find out quickly and easily online, thanks to Castrol's Rego to Oil tool. Simply type in your Rego, select your state, and within seconds you'll know the best Castrol products to unlock the edge of performance in your car. So what's your car best suited to? Just search Rego, the number 2, and oil, and find out.